Greetings. It is morning. It's a good morning, right? You get to be with each other. Look around you, all these weird people. I'm telling you, you just can't get any better than this. Just bow your heads if you would. Father God, how wonderful you are. Beyond compare. With your love for us. You, O Lord God, and you alone guide and direct our steps. We ask, Father, that we follow up. We not get carried away, go someplace we don't need to be. But we ask that we follow him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask that to glorify you, Father. And everyone said, amen. This is the good time. Everybody make a face at me before I start. Just give me their best shot. Okay? No, I'm serious. Just give me your best shot. Did you do it? Well, I broke my glasses. I can't see you. And there's Bible that says, don't get upset about their faces. Today is a day that we're fast approaching Christmas and the crazy time of year, I feel, and shopping. And how many of you went out Friday and bought all you got John and me presents Friday and saved money doing it? See, I can't see your face. Doesn't matter. But we're facing a time of year that's hard on people. And, you don't know what the person next to you or in front of you or close to you is even going through. You don't know if things are hard at home between the husband and the wife. You don't know if they're having trouble with one of the kids that just keep them up at night. You don't know if finances are just destroyed and they don't know what they're going to do and the job situation looks like they're going to lose it and things were happening. Okay, well, she said it. We don't call her she who must be obeyed for nothing. Here we go. Do I look better?
Yes.
Can you see my face now? You don't know what people are going through. You don't know the people that have anxieties with crowds that can panic attack even walking in the back door and seeing you. Of course, seeing you could cause some panic attacks in people, couldn't it? But you don't know what they're facing. You don't know how hard it is. We had a young man that I grew up in the ministry and helped him, and he walked under me, and we see each other in joy and a covenant, just a close walk. And he did the youth back in the Joplin church, and he'd have a couple of hundred kids there, and it got where he couldn't go into crowds. And how many of you know going into a crowd and then going into a crowd of teenagers is something? Amen? How many of you panic with that? So this is what's happening. You don't know what people's going through. I don't know what you're going through. You know, I can't imagine what Gloria's going through now with Bill passing away. It's just beyond what I can imagine. And Barbara and I talked about it, and I don't know what I would do. She said she didn't know what she would do. If you look up and down the row that you're on right now, and if next week someone died on every row, and you sat next to them this Sunday, and next Sunday they were just gone. I don't understand gone. I understand being in heaven with Jesus, and I rejoice at that, but just to be gone and no longer see, no longer, you know, see the smile, hear the voice, the friendship, the tenderness, I just, that's beyond me how that can happen. And yet they still live inside my heart and my mind and the thoughts of it. So, but you don't know what people's going through and how hard it is on them. And I want to encourage you for this next year to get prepared to go through and not just stay there, but go through what you're going through. Amen? Just go to the other side. And in Colorado, above the timber line where nothing grows, every spring before anything else blossoms or anything else grows or turns colors, there's a little white flower that blooms above the tree line. Nothing grows up there. I just want you to know. But this flower blooms. It's a small white flower. It's beautiful. The Latin for it, and I'm going to just destroy this, so just say, oh, that's pretty, Pastor. It's saxifrage, okay? It's the Latin for this little flower, and it's called a rock breaker because it grows directly out of the rock. I'm not talking about the cracks. I'm talking about a solid rock, and all of a sudden a little flower comes up. You don't see, there's not dirt there. There's sometimes cracks, sometimes not. But when they blossom, they're beautiful and they're everywhere. And the problem is that can't happen. Amen? It's impossible for it to grow up there. And it's too cold. The weather's conditions aren't right. Nothing else grows. You say, Brother Bill, that's impossible. Tell it to that little flower. Because, and the beauty of it is breathtaking because they come up. Many of you have seen on the side of the road where they planted for wildflowers, so they come up and they're just, oh, that's pretty. Even big old tough guys say, oh, look at that. That's nice. And as you look on, it's time we grow where people say it's impossible. It's time we talk to people that others say they're impossible to talk to. And scientists got together and they studied the bumblebee. And after studying it, after measuring it, after weighing it, after checking the wings, after seeing the fuzzy things on it, checking the stinger, everything about the bumblebee, scientists decided that it was impossible for the bumblebee to fly. But they can't seem to convince the bumblebee of that, okay? He does things that others say, you can't do that. It's impossible that you do that. Rock breakers, bumblebees, they don't accept the conditional limitations that man put on. Now, if you would put up Philippians for me, and somebody stand up and read that for me. What can you do? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. I find that wonderful that we can do things that other people say can't do that. Now, you're going to be facing some hard times. John reminded me, I was talking to a man out that came to fix our septic tank out here and stuff. And I was talking to him and felt led to talk to him about the Lord and tried to open it up. And he finally said that, you know, he wasn't ready for that right now. And my response to him was, one day you will be, and we're ready to help you. One day you're going to face things that others just don't even know you're going through. So whether it's emotional, physical pain, sickness, how many of you ever went somewhere where you were sick? You just bucked up, smiled, went on. You know, that's what you do. And other people don't know it. And for us to get in a place where we decide, I'm not going to accept conventional limitations. You'll meet things and friends will tell you that's impossible. Enemies will tell you that's impossible. Fools will tell you that's impossible. But God whispers, we can do all things. You and I get together. We get a handle on God. We get a handle on what God is wanting us to do. We learn how to walk in a closeness, in a praise, in a worship where others are sitting around talking, having fun, and you're just worshiping God. It's you and God, and you're just singing and loving God. And you know, that's impossible. That won't work. That's conventional limitations and rock breakers and bumblebees. They're the radicals of the world. They're the nonconformists. They're the ones that come up and say, you know, you don't think we can do this? I think we can. And when we accept those radical men and women in our life, you know what you'll want to be? One of them. You'll want to help people that others say they won't do anything. I got a chance to go to the hospital one time because one of my I was running children's church, and he asked me to go see his grandpa. And I knew his grandpa. His grandpa was mean. Where his grandpa spit, grass wouldn't grow. Concrete disintegrated. He was mean. And I decided to go up there, and the whole trip up there, the devil said, he's going to hit you. He was known to be a pretty violent fella. And the devil says, he's going to hit you. He's going to hit you. There's nothing you can do. If you hit him back, he's in a hospital bed. How's that going to make look? Pastor attacks man in hospital bed. You know what I mean? And I thought, I got to go up here, and I'm doing this for him. And I walked to the room, and the curtain was half pulled, and all I could see was a fist like this beside his leg, looked like a ham, I'm telling you, big. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he's going to hit me. You know where I heard that. And I thought, maybe he's asleep. And I peeked around, and his eyes were closed. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, he's asleep. You know, I'm supposed to wake him up in the hospital. Amen? I don't know how your faces are, but I was having a real struggle. And I thought, well, he's asleep, and I'll just let him go. And I slipped up and put a card down there, and I turned around, and he said, what do you want? And I thought, oh, man, he's going to hit me. And I turned around, and I said, well, my name's Bill Cox. I'm the children's pastor at Central Christian Center, and your grandson's in my children's church, and he loves you, and he wanted me to come and see you, and the one thing he wanted me to do was tell you about Jesus. And this man softened. I'm just softened. And he's going to hit you was the farthest thing that was happening. And I prayed with him. He accepted the Lord. And when this little kid ran in children's church, he went and was telling everybody. Brother Bill went and saw him. He didn't tell him, but Brother Bill was scared to death. Brother Bill went and saw him and led him to the Lord. And my grandpa knows Jesus. You know, you've got to decide. There's limitations out there for everybody, but you've got to decide there's no limitations with you and God together. God can do some of these things. And when you get to Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Now, did you notice it didn't say that they're possible with God? He said they're possible with who? Those who could believe. Now, God is in there and the walks together, no question. But now he puts some responsibility on you. A man worked for 20 years to find a principle to vulcanize tires. Goodyear was the thing that came out. And if he would have, we would not have tires like we have them today, if it wasn't for this man. For 20 years, he worked on this principle, and others said it couldn't happen. Others said it wouldn't work. Others said it's not going to be. Everyone said that's impossible. Everyone said that except him. And today, he did that which wasn't possible in men's eyes. And we have electricity today because a man named Edison did things that others said were impossible. And those who would not accept it said no for the answer. Those who would not accept it but said it was just, this was conventional limitations. You can't do it. This is as far as we can go. Do you know the Wright brothers' father, when someone asked him about flying, he uh, he told them, he was a bishop, came and ate dinner with him. He was a pastor. And anyway, he said if God wanted us to fly, he had given us wings. His boys were the one working on flight. And, you know, when you don't think something's impossible, you're never going to try it. You're never going to reach out for it. When you listen to people that will discourage you and try to keep you from doing something, want you to give up a calling, want you to give up doing this, this, or this. And we should be doing some things in this church. There is a creative power. There's a life in God. And some of you ought to be writing some books, writing some songs, creating some things, inventing some things, because you have the creative ability of God in you. And others will say, well, that's a lot of time. You know, they won't publish it. You just pick out a reason why you can't win. And somebody will tell that to you. But I'm telling you, you can, because with God, all things are, say it with me, possible. They can grow above the tree line. They can fly when nobody else says they can. And George Washington, of the father of our country, the great general George Washington, do you know how many battles he won? He fought a lot of them. Do you know how many he won? One. He won one battle, and he won the war with it. All the rest of them he lost, and it was a draw, and they were running, and they were hiding and trying to live through winter. But you know what? He won one battle, and that was the one you need to win. Maybe you got some battles you need to win. Maybe you got some battles you fought over and over and over and over again. Well, it's time to win one. So, well, I've tried, and it's hard, and people say it can't happen. God says it can. God says, I'm going to take you through it. And Wedgwood China, a beautiful China. You know, it was 15 years before anybody bought that. Now it's world known. 15 years trying to sell a product. And you think you've been there for a long time. The scripture gives you a good level to shoot for. He said, you haven't yet suffered unto what? Unto blood. You haven't yet suffered unto blood. And I can do all things through Christ. You don't have to accept limitations. You pray about it and God will show you how to do it. You don't have to accept what others say. It can't happen because it can. And have you ever thought of writing a book? Raise your hand. Raise it real high. Look around you. Okay? Write a book. So, Pastor, it'd be hard. Well, sure. If it's easy, everybody would be doing it. Are you there? That's what my wife told me in my first church when things, I was just trying to love God and believe and love people, and things were hard and everybody was fighting, everybody was griping. And she looked at me and said, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's time you stood up for your family, for your friends. And most people would rather say, I can't, though. Most people would rather say it's hopeless. Most people would rather say, he's going to hit me, than talk to him. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we spend too much time looking at circumstances. So I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Get out from under those. Let's get up, start looking at what God's looking at. Amen? Let's see in it how God sees it. And they spend too much time with the problems and the we can't instead of why we can. You need to start some ministries. God called you into some ministries that could build this church that others can't do. You're called. You've got the burden. And instead of enjoying all we have, we gripe because we don't have more. Instead of enjoying the moment before us, all we do is gripe because we're going to wait for a certain date. When I retire, when I get older, when I get 16, when I get 21, when I get this, when we get a house, when we get settled, when the kids get out of school, when the sun comes up in the morning. see the benefits that God has. And we get so caught up with the negative of why we can't that we see the battle and fight it and run to try to find somebody else to fight it for us when God's given you the strength. Amen. God tells us, I want you to be different. I want you to be able to fly. I want you to be able to grow in places that you can't. And how do we do this? We just start. You just start. So, well, yeah, but what do I do? How do I start? You just start. You just do it. You just go ahead. And you'll say, I can't. I don't know how. I'm not educated. Pick out something. Pick out some reason. And if you'd just be what God wants you to be, you'd do everything. Because God's made you, and he not only made you, but he empowered you. He fixed you with certain gifts, certain understanding, the ability to see. How many of you have been around and there's a problem and there's three or four of them standing around and all of them one says, this is what we need to do. And everybody there says, yeah, that's a gift of the Spirit. It's called wisdom. And every time you see it, it says, and it pleased them all. And God gave them the creation. God gave them the way. And a child's story about a little clock, and he looked at what he must do, and he was just a little clock, and so little clocks go tick-tock every second. What do? Tick-tock. That's not too hard. Tick-tock. But then he has to do that 120 times a minute. And then 7,200 times an hour, and 172,800 in a day, and 63 million in a year, 630 million in 10 years, and the little clock says, I can't do that. How many of you sound 630 million tick-tock sounds like, oh, I don't want to do that. But all you have to do is do the first one. And you'll end up saying, I can do that. I can tick-tock. I can do that again. And 630 million times later, you says, I think I can do one more. Tick-tock. Ask the moms when they're at the end of the rope. They don't know what to do next. They're frazzled. They're tired. They work, and then they come home and work, and then the kids bring more work, and the husband brings more work, and they just don't know if they can go on. And you know what they do? They just take the next step, just do the next thing. And that's what men do when they're going to jobs they hate. They just take the next step. They do the next thing. And this little clock went so far as to say, I think I can do that. You and I need to learn how to tick-tock. When you get to a place you just don't feel like you can go on, could I encourage you to do one thing? Say tick-tock. 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 I can't do anything else. Tick-tock. You can do that, can't you? And just do what you can do. That's how God made you. Just start ticking. One local legend in Alaska tells of two men that went out with a dog sled. They got out there. They got lost. A blizzard came. They were snowed in. They couldn't go anywhere. They ended up eating all their food. They ate their dogs. They chewed on the harness. They tried to figure out what to do. They didn't know. And then they decided, well, if we're gonna live, we're gonna have to walk out. And they started walking, and they walked for 3 days, no food. And the one morning to get up for the fourth day, one of them said, I can't go on any farther. And the other one said, we've got to go on. Just get up and let's go. He said, no, I'm not doing it. And the one that got up said, okay, I'm going to go on and we'll come back. And he got up and he just said, if I can take one more step. If I can take one more step. And he said he lived one more step. He talked to himself about one more step. He said, I can pick my foot up one more time. And he walked. And because he was walking, the search party cut his trail and saved him. And his name was Fridtjof Mason. Everybody knows him. He's a legend in Alaska. But nobody knows the other guy because he quit. His name's raised up. You got to keep going. You get out there when things get bad. And out there, things are bad. You're going to die, things get bad. We don't face many of those, we're going to die, things get bad. But let me tell you what, when you do, you got to take that next step. You got to tick one more time. You got to go on. And God's going to help you. God's going to put his arms around you. God's going to help you get through. God's going to see you arrive, because we can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens us. Now, these are those people that are going to rise up and go on. And most of the time, they're not telling anybody. They're not whining to people. They're not having other people carry them. They're just getting up and doing it. They're strong. They're warriors. They're going on. And other people doesn't even see it. They smile when they're hurting so bad inside. Why? Because God can help me get through this. See, if you need a miracle, it's there. There's a man named Moses. He was a deliverer. He was born. They were killing babies. You know the story. Moses gets put in a basket, slipped out to sea. No, he's pushed out in a river. He's riding down through there, and the Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And she says, oh, look, a baby. I've always wanted a baby. I'll just take this one. And she decides to raise it. And that's a miracle. His mom wouldn't accept conventional limitations, wouldn't let that stop her. They're not going to kill him. They're going to give him a chance, put him in the hands of God. Do you know what happens when you put your problems in God's hands? He fixes them. It's amazing. And then we say, look what I've done. Amen? How many of you have done some of that? Yeah, God pulls you out of the fire. And you say, I crawled out of the fire. It was horrible, but I did it. Moses gets shipped down the river. Pharaoh's daughter's taking a bath. She saves him. But you know, that's a miracle. I may say that's a miracle. You know what the real miracle was? She ends up getting Moses' mom to raise him. That's a miracle. Not too many people talk about that. That's a miracle. Not too many talk about the prayers and the crying and the wanting to be with this baby and wanting to save him. Nobody talks about her faith. But you know what God did? God brought her in to raise this baby, to teach him about the Hebrew God, to see him grow in power and might in Pharaoh's court. And, you know, that's the miracle. And he was to be a deliverer, and God comes to him, and he gets all this I can't business. And how many of you even know Moses made excuses? Well, I can't talk, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and whatever. And he calls him, sticks him out there, and he's the deliverer for his people. The first thing he does is kill an Egyptian. The Egyptian don't want anything to do with him. The Hebrew people don't want anything. If he killed an Egyptian, look what he's going to do to us. And so for 40 years, he's stuck. I mean, have you ever felt like you've been stuck for 40 years? Stuck in a place. I'm going to tell you, God's all he's doing is preparing you. He gets a bush. He tells him to get his shoes off. He's on holy ground. Somebody said that God had to get Moses back on his feet before he could use him. And the same guy said he took him from defeat to success and total victory. That was a joke that went over your head, didn't it? Defeat And when we see what God can do, Moses says, I can't, and who am I, and nobody will listen, nobody will do this, nobody will do that. And always God says, you can. Man says you can't. You will tell yourself you can't. How many of you ever told yourself you can't? Now, raise your hand so I can see you, because you're the one that said, well, I just can't do this. It's much more than I can do. It's hopeless. I don't have a chance. But you're the one that says you can't. And when we get to see the God of the heavens that comes down, that loves us, that touches us, that moves for us, and when you hear you can spoken by God, I'm going to tell you something. You can. When God whispers that into you, when God gives you that vision, when God begins to move and Moses appears before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. We want to go serve our God. And Pharaoh says, what's he say? You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. Took him 9 times until Moses convinces him of that he could. It took the death of his son. You know, it's a hard thing when somebody in your life dies. It's a hard thing when you lose something. It's a hard thing when homes are broken up, when you lose somebody steals your car. It's a hard thing. But can I tell you what? When it's over, you're going to make it through that. You're going to make it through anything else you face. Mr. Lady, God is going to help you. God is going to empower you. God is going to strengthen you. And many people with Moses, when they got out, they got to the Red Sea, and you know what everybody said? We can't. We can't. It's a conventional limitation. We can't. It's no help. There's no way we can do this. We're going to die here in the desert. I'd rather be back there eating garlic and onions. And what's Moses say? We can. And he lifts up his rod. And suddenly the sea parts. They get on the other side and do the happy dance and sing some songs and get excited. But it's just a day or two till they're back in. You can't. Most people that say you can't, when somebody that says you can takes them through a problem, they're happy to get through the problem, but almost immediately they go back to the you can't. Because they're not geared for you can, the other person is. That's why you got a person in leadership in your family, in your friends, that is you can people. And you get around them and you get churning up, you get excited, you decide you can. And as long as they're there, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we've got some people like that. I had some people like that in my life. Man, as long as they were there and stoking the fire and getting everything, it was easy. But all the people leave and he gets them across and Moses says, we can. It's not long. They're out in the desert griping again. And Moses takes his staff, hits the rock, water comes out. Everybody's dancing and singing how great God is again. It's not long till they come back around. They need water again. And God said, speak to the rock. But he hid it. He hid it. It cost him going into the promised land. You got to not let people move you to do the wrong thing. Now, Moses took that stick and hit the rock. If I'd have been Moses, I think I'd have took that stick, hit some of them gripers. Amen. Got a hold of that thing. We'll straighten that out soon. Get up here in the front. Yell louder. Wah, wah, wah. That'll shut some of them down. Amen. But I was upset because Moses didn't go in. You know, everybody ought to be forgiven, shouldn't we? He hit that rock. He didn't get to go in. I was a little upset about that. Had many talks with God. But you know what? God did go in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we see Elijah and Jesus and Moses and Transfiguration. And Moses is there. And I'd a lot rather be with Joseph or be with Jesus And then I would be back with all those people griping. Amen. I'd a lot rather be at the Transfiguration. I'd a lot rather be with Jesus. Jesus or gripers? You're going to get a vote now. Jesus or gripers? How many of you want to be with the gripers? Yeah. Are they raising their hands? I can't see. How many of you want to be with Jesus? Come up, wave them. Yeah. It's Jesus. And God wants you to win, wants you to succeed. And he said, we will reap in due season if we don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on ticking. Amen. Keep on looking for what God has, the prize that God has. One step at a time, and you can. One step, just one step. And in the beginning of every trip's just one step. And how many of you find it the hardest just to get up and go do something? But once you get started, it's fine. And we need to learn how to get up and do something. Some people will never be anything more than gripers. I'm sorry. They just decided to be gripers. You get to choose. How many of you know you can gripe or not? Ah, it's too hot, it's too cold, the music's too long, it's too short, it's too loud, it's too soft. They're not singing my kind. I like messages where they, you know, where they tell more stories, where they don't tell enough stories, where they put more scripture in, they put too much scripture in. Person next to me won't shut up, or kids are messy, or leave a mess, and I got to come in and sit in it in second service. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. When y'all just walk in the door and say, man, let's worship God. Let's get with Jesus. Let's get a group together and start happy dancing. Amen? Because it's easier to say, I can't, than it is to take the first step. It's easier to say, I can't, than it is to just go tick-tock, tick-tock. And you remember, everybody would rather say it's too hard, it's impossible, nobody can do it. But God didn't make you that way. He made you to do the non-conventional things. Stories told about a prophet, Elisha. He prays for rain. Elijah. There's no rain. Because he said, there's not going to be any rain. It's his fault. Everybody in the kingdom's mad at him. Even the Christians don't like him. Do you know when you start doing what's right, even everybody gets mad? No rain? I want rain. He prays. He tells his servant, what's he telling him to do? Go look, go look, go seven times, go look. He comes back every time and says, there's not anything. I'm sure the second time the servant came back and said, there's not anything. The second time he was about done going. The third time when he said, go look, how many of you would have said, look, I already been there. Ain't nothing happening. Amen. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Go look. Go look. And the servant with the attitude, more than likely. But if it had been you, you'd have just ran up there. I know you would have. But sixth time, seventh time, he goes and looks and he sees something. You know, you can't quit just because somebody says, nope, it's not there. You can't quit because somebody says you can't do it. He says, there is a cloud the size of a man's head. How many of you know this is going to be a gully washer? Yeah, one cloud out there. Was it a dark cloud or a white cloud? Or what kind of cloud is it? He didn't talk about what kind of cloud it is. There's a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's enough. He gets up. He goes to the king's chariot and he said, get to the palace, it's going to rain. I believe the original text says, get going quick because it's going to be a toad strangler. I'm not sure. I'd have to see that more. Many of you don't even know what a toad strangler is. It's raining so much when you're driving down the roads, there's frogs out in the road trying to get out of the wet. That's a toad strangler. And he said, get to, now he's a chariot pulled by two horses. Elijah is 80 years old. He girds up his dress of the day, which was a dress, guys. And he had a girdle, which was a belt. And what they did, they reached through, got the back of it, pulled it up between their legs and tucked it in the heavy leather belt. And that way it caused his legs to be free to work or whatever. He needed his legs free because he's going to run before the chariot. He's 80 years old. Conventional limitation says probably not going to happen. I bet he quits before long. I bet he doesn't get out of sight. He doesn't have a chance against those horses. But he runs for 30 miles and he's the first one there. Can you do that? No, that's impossible. Yeah, talk them bumblebees out of flying. 30 miles. How many of you can't even walk 30 miles? Are you there? He's running 30 miles before horses. And he beats them there. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And when we get to the place that we decide we're going to go on, do you know what your first step is? You just have to be faithful to God. You just have to get in his presence. You just have to learn how to praise him when nobody's there. You have to learn how in the middle of the crowd when everybody's talking about football or baseball or sewing or Black Friday shopping or how the car won't run or how bad the kids are, and you're sitting in the middle of them just loving God and praising him, and suddenly the relationship gets so strong and God says, I think you ought to do this. You look up and smile. Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a new dog. One of my dogs died, and I'm sorry, and John came and took care of us, and I was appreciative of that. But my dog died, so we're getting a new dog. We're rescuing it. And it's in South Carolina. And there's a bunch of people going to adopt it, and they called and sent us a picture, and we saw it. And my son and his wife and granddaughters are working on getting it, and we're all excited and got the thing named, and it's cute as a button. And we sat down last night, so there's a lot of people going to adopt it. So we're going to get the dog. We've already talked about it. It's my dog. Are you there? Well, it's hard, and people, and who they're going to give it to. Ain't going to give it to me. Now, you can think whatever you want when it's your dog or your car or someone in your family that's sick that you need to believe for. But as for me and mine, we're going to serve the Lord and God's going to bless us. It's time to stop reasoning why you're not going to succeed and decide just to take the first step and believe God. And get in church, and get strong, and don't let anything change you. And find people that are believing God, not people just show up, dress nice, look good, smell good, got their hair combed, but people that do all those things and said, I'm on Jesus' side. I'm on Jesus' side. I was laughing in my heart in there. We were talking back in there. And they were talking about doing music, and they were talking about an old song. Who did that? Who did that song? Well, the Doobie Brothers did Jesus Is Just All Right With Me. How many of you know that song? Yeah, Jesus is just all right with me. How is he with you? Because he's going to help you do whatever you need. Grab somebody's hand close to you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to face some things, maybe now, maybe next year, but I'm going to face some things, Father. And when the time comes, I want to be a rock breaker. I want to be a, a bumblebee. I want to be a man that says, no, thank you. I'm not quitting. I'm going forward. I want God to come into my life and help me and change me and help me with my attitude. Help me with my faith. Help me to believe. Help me to be example. Help me, oh Lord God, to be what you want me to be, not what the world wants. Let me be a nonconformist to this world. Let me renew my mind and not be conformed to the ways of this world. Let me know your will, the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Let me walk with such power and might and light that darkness flees, that I get to help others and change people. And let me be that man or woman that honors you and does it every day, every minute, every second, tick tock. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen. Now, bow your heads one more time. And if you would, there's some things you need to change, some things you need to go on, some things you need to stand up and be strong. If that's you, just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Okay. Father, help us now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask it. And everyone said amen. Love you. Donuts and coffee next door.